Today is found in the first book of Samuel, the 15th chapter, where we have an account of how that Saul was rejected as king. We find Samuel coming to Saul and speaking unto him and saying unto him that he had anointed him to be king over Israel. And God had come to Samuel, and he came to Saul with the message that he should go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. For God remembered what these Amalekites had done unto the Israelites when they came up out of the land of Egypt. The Amalekites, according to Arabian history, they were descendants of a grandson of Noah. These Amalekites, it seems, dwelt on the border of the Red Sea. And when the Israelites came up out of the Red Sea, the Amalekites were lying in wait for them. And they smote the Israelites. They smote the weakest and the feeblest of them that couldn't keep up with the main body of the Israelites. These people, they were in the rearward. And the Amalekites fell upon them and killed them. This, what they did unto the Israelites, was a barbarous thing. They had no mercy whatsoever against these weak and feeble people, and they utterly slew them. And we read that Joshua, who was the captain of the Israelitish host, he fought against them, and he discomfited them with the edge of the sword. And God said unto Moses, write this in a book for a memorial unto Joshua, that I will utterly destroy from under the heaven the remembrance of Amalek. And write it also that the Lord will make war against Amalek from generation to generation. The Lord then took it up against the Amalekites. And now God remembers this. And God sends Saul to destroy them. My hearers, these Amalekites are a type of you and I by nature. What an awful judgment was upon these people. In all probabilities, this generation knew nothing about this judgment that God had spoken out by the mouth of Moses against them. And they were living secure, these people, not realizing what was hanging over the top of their head. Aren't we like that? Every one of us, is there not a judgment upon us because of our departure from God in Adam, our covenant head? Are we not under this judgment likewise that truly God must punish us? He must destroy us because of our sins and our iniquities. This Amalek, likewise, is a type of the devil. Amalek fell upon the weakest and upon the feeblest of the Israelites who were in the rear. It's the custom of the devil to fall upon the weakest and upon the feeblest of the true Israelites, even to this day. He comes upon them with his temptations. He comes upon them to turn them away from God, if possible, and from his service, and to cause them, if it were possible, to perish. But now, their spiritual Joshua, Jesus Christ, he likewise discomforts this enemy, this perpetual enemy, Satan, by the sword of his spirit, by his word and testimony. But whenever he falls upon one of these weak and these feeble in faith, then Jesus comes, and he encourages them by his word to continue to fight against Satan, against sin, against themselves. And he gives them such a measure of faith, such a measure of comfort at times, that when in all doubt and fear they have said, I will surely perish, they are lifted up, and they are given to say, I will not die, but I will live, and I will praise the works of the Lord. Now this Amalek then was to be destroyed. Samuel, as the prophet of God, commanded Saul to go down and to destroy them. And we find Saul gathering an army together of 200,000 men and 10,000 of Judah, having an army of 210,000. And then Saul, he went forth at the commandment, and he placed himself in a valley. And now dwelling amongst the Amalekites were the Kenites. Now these people, they were descendants from Jethro, the father-in-law to Moses. As you know, Jethro came unto Moses when he was in the wilderness, and he gave Moses good advice. He told him that he should not bear all the burdens of all the people, but that he should make rulers of companies of 1,000, of 100, and so forth. And Moses listened to the good advice of his father-in-law, Jethro. And now God remembers what Jethro had done for the Israelites as well as for Moses. And now these Kenites, they were mixed with the Amalekites. And Saul, he sent a message to them. Probably Samuel had told them to do this, that they should get up from amongst the Amalekites, lest they be destroyed with them. And we find that these Kenites, they went up from amongst the Amalekites so that they would not be slain. Now these Kenites, they are a type of the Church of Christ. The Lord speaks to this church in his word that they should come from out from amongst them and be ye separate. The church then is not to mingle with the world, but not to live as the world does. They are not to live with the wicked, for they most certainly will be destroyed with them if they go on with them. Therefore, the command is, come out from amongst them, and be ye separate, and I will be a God unto you, and ye shall be my people. These Kenites, they were delivered then from the sword of Saul by going up from amongst the Amalekites. And now Saul, he went ahead with his army, and he slew the Amalekites from Havilah unto Shur as you come into Egypt. He utterly destroyed all the Amalekites according to the word of God. He was commanded to slay man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, ass and camel. Everything that they had was to be destroyed. This was the command of God. But now when Saul was destroying the Amalekites, he seen so many good sheep, so many good oxen, and so many good things that he did not destroy those that was good, but he only destroyed that was vile, that was refuse, that nobody else would even want to have. But that which was good, he kept for himself and for the people that was with him. And he spared the king, Agag. Agag was the name of all the kings that ruled over the Amalekites. And now my hearers, Saul, he disobeyed God. For he kept that which was good and kept the king alive. Heathen kings, they usually, when they had a victory over a country that they were warring against, would take the king prisoner and bind him in iron chains, and they would take all the booty and all the spoil that they had gained, and they would lead the king before the army that they had and return back to their country with a great big parade, so that all the people would see that they were victorious. And the king who brought this king that he had captured back would be honored and would be praised by the people and would be magnified by them. And now Saul, just as the heathen kings did, he likewise did. He took this man Agag prisoner, and he took of all the good spoil and booty, and he brought it back with him, disobeying God. My hearers, do you think you would have done anything different? You think we're any better than Saul? I'm sure that we would have done the same thing that Saul and the people did. For if we would have seen all these good sheep and all these good oxen, and we would have seen so many good things that we want ourselves, well, we couldn't see that they had to be destroyed. Even if God said they should be destroyed, we would have said inside, why destroy it? Why? Why cast it away? We would have kept it, and we would have desired to have it for our own personal use. And this is what Saul desired likewise with the people. He then was covetous in this respect, and he was disobedient to the direct commandment of God. And now Saul, he comes back with his army and with this king in the front of him, and he makes a place where he stopped, and he built there, according to the commentary, a memorial. Oh, it was a great parade, you may be sure. And Saul, he was being honored and glorified for the victory that he had obtained. And now he raised a memorial, according to the commentary, and they built a hand in token of victory. And from this place, he went down to Gilgal, where he had been anointed to be king. But now we find that God came to Samuel during the night. And he spake unto Samuel and said, it repenteth me that I have made Saul king, for he has disobeyed me and has left off following me. Now, my hearers, God cannot repent in that respect as you and I do. There is no repentance by God as if he's sorry for something that he did or that he did something wrong. God can never do anything wrong, and he never can commit an error. But when it says that God repenteth him of making Saul king, then it means that because of the sins of Saul, therefore God changed his plans and he changed his attitude towards Saul. Sometimes you read too that it repenteth God of the evil that he was going to bring upon people. In his love and in his mercy and compassion, especially when people humble themselves and offer up supplications to him, then we find that he does not bring the evil upon them that he threatened to do. As for instance, the Ninevites. He threatened to overthrow them, but when they humbled themselves, then we find that God did not bring down upon them his threatening. In this respect, we must understand then when it says that God repenteth that he had made Saul king. Did not God know that Saul was going to be this way? Most assuredly. But now Samuel, he cried all night unto God because God revealed this to him. Oh, he wept and he prayed to God that God might forgive the sins of Saul. This man was deeply affected by what God had spoken to him about Saul. Why was this? I think Saul, he had seen something good in Samuel had seen something good in Saul. It was so wonderful the way God had led Saul to Samuel. and how that Samuel was commanded to speak to him, that when he would leave him, then he would receive a new heart, and he would see a company of men that were prophets, and the Spirit of God would have come upon Saul, and he would prophesy. There were many good signs in this man at the beginning. And I think Samuel, he had some good thoughts about this man. But now when God came and told him that he had rejected him from being king, it grieved Samuel. It grieved him so that he cried all night unto God. Likewise, even today, my hearers, if you should know someone, that there were good signs in that person, that it was to be seen that they were humble, and that they were seeking the Lord, and they performed many things which gave you a good opinion of them, and then you see them turning away from God. You see them falling headlong into sins, and that you begin to say, I don't know. I am sure if you have the grace of God in your soul, it will be a grief to you. You will carry that person up to God. It grieves us to see sinners go on in their ways, to continue on in their sins and to perish in them. It's a grief to every one of God's dear children to see sinners doing this. It's a grief to me, my hearers, to stand in the front of you and to see you go on in your sins and in your iniquities. Oh, I would entreat every one of you to turn from your sins and to seek God while he is yet to be found. And now Samuel, he went the next morning to meet Saul. And when he came to Gilgal, and then Saul came to him and said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, for I have fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. He comes with a lie in his right hand. Had he fulfilled the commandment of the Lord? Why did he talk like this? He talked like this so that he could, in other words, stop the mouth of Samuel to reprove him for what he had done. But he was dealing with a faithful prophet. He was dealing with a man that said, Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. This was Samuel, the prophet of God. And Samuel, he spake unto Saul, and he says, Well, what meanest then this bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? In other words, is this obeying the commandment of God? Did you do what God told you to do? How come then you got all these sheep and all these oxen behind you? Oh, he was a faithful man, this man Samuel. He stood in the fear of God. And he spake the truth unto Saul. But Saul, he would not fall under the truth. Oh, no. Saul, he says, The people that were with me, they spared of the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the animals, so that they would have things to offer unto a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. So this was the excuse now that Saul made. He cast the blame upon the people, as if they had influenced him to do these things. And this was another lie. And this, what he said, my hearers, is something that you and I do too. If you've done something wrong, if you disobeyed God, and somebody comes to you and reproves you for it, the first thing that you're going to do is make an excuse. And you're going to say, well, it was this or it was that. We began to do this in paradise. The instant that God came unto Adam, then Adam cast it upon Eve. And Eve, she cast it upon the serpent. And it's been going like that to this day. This man Saul, he blamed the people then. And he brought these things unto Samuel as if that they were going to offer them unto God. Why, my hearers, if Samuel had taken of his own sheep, of his own oxen, and hundreds and thousands of them, and had offered them unto God, it still would not have been acceptable unto him. But because we must come in truth and in uprightness with our offering and with our sacrifice. And Samuel, he came with the booty of some other people, and he was going to offer this unto God, which would not be acceptable. And therefore Samuel, he reproves him. And he says unto him that he was sinning against God. In other words, he was being rebellious. He says, is it better, he says, it's better to obey, he says, than to offer sacrifice. For the Lord hath more delight in obedience than in offerings. And he likewise reproves him because this man Samuel, this man Saul, he wanted to show in this way that he was religious and that he had something over for the Lord God of Samuel, which he had not. He had no humility whatsoever. He had no repentance for what he had done. He was not sorry for the sin that he had committed. No, there were no tears of repentance rolling down the cheeks of Saul. He was a proud man ever since he had become king, and he remained proud. And now Samuel, he reproves him for the sin that he had committed. And he did not say, I have sinned, until it was forced out of his mouth. And now, my hearers, there are many people just like Saul. Or there are so many that do like Saul, disobey God, they transgress his commandments, they steal, they brag, they gain worldly goods by thievery and by doing things that are inconsistent in the sight of God. All this is done on a great scale, my hearers. People become millionaires in and through transgressing God's commandments. And then they take of the spoils that they have, they give to charity, they give to churches, and they think that God will be pleased with what they're doing. You think God's pleased with that, my hearers? To obey is better than sacrifice and offering. To be obedient unto God's commandments, there's a blessing upon it. Not only do rich people offer up things as this, but even those that gain things unjustly. Yes, my hearers, even you can come to the house of God, and you can offer an offering unto the worship of God. But if you continue on in your sins and be disobedient unto God, your offering and your sacrifice is not acceptable to God. It's an abomination unto him. God looks to the heart, and from there must proceed that which would be acceptable unto him. And now this man Saul, he spake unto Samuel after being reproved in this way, that the people were the cause of it. He again casts it upon the people. And Samuel said unto him, that a rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as idolatry and iniquity. Saul then was a rebellious creature, and he was a stubborn creature. He wouldn't give in. He tried to hold up his head even after Samuel accused him of what he had done. Rebellion then is as the sin of witchcraft. To rebel against God is an open rebellion, a defying against God. Do what you want with me, I'm going on anyway. That's being rebellious. We all became that, my hearers, in Adam, our covenant head. And to be stubborn is not to give in, to be obstinate, to continue on in it, irrespective of what shall take place with you. And that's being rebellious and stubborn against God. And this is what Saul was. Are you like that? Have you ever learned yourself to be so? My hearers, if you never do, believe me, you'll never need Jesus Christ. Every one of God's people learn to know that they're rebellious and that they're stubborn creatures. And when God begins to teach you this, and then when you are given to see something of this precious Jesus, who never was rebellious, who never was stubborn, who fulfilled what God laid upon him, who was obedient and kept the law to the last jot and tittle, oh, how precious does Jesus become for stubborn and rebellious sinners. Imagine that. That Jesus Christ is in the right hand of the Father, that even the rebellious may dwell with him. Oh, my hearers, that God has to teach us this so we'll never fall underneath it. And Saul, he wouldn't fall underneath it either. But finally he says, I have sinned. But he says, follow me and give that I may worship the Lord again. He wanted then Samuel to go along with him so that he would worship God again. But Samuel says, no, for the Lord hath rejected thee from being king and hath given it unto a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. This was the commandment of God to Saul, that he was rejected, and that another would be king in his place. And now this man, Saul, he wanted Samuel to come along with him to worship God again, thinking that if Samuel came along, well, then God would receive him, maybe. But Samuel, he turned away from Saul, and then Saul took hold of his mantle and rent it. He didn't want Samuel to leave him. And Samuel had occasion to speak unto him and say, the Lord hath rent the kingdom from thee this day. He was told then that his kingdom would be rent from him and that he would be no longer king. But then he spake and said, oh, honor me before my people and before the elders of Israel. Do come along with me, Samuel, and give me to worship God again. And Samuel, he went along with Saul again. And Saul worshiped the Lord, not saying how, my hearers. There was no true humility. There was no true faith in Saul. This man, Saul, he was a person that was rejected by God, and his offering and his sacrifice was not acceptable. Oh, how awful it is to be rejected by God because of our disobedience. My hearers, this will be the cause that every one of us will be rejected unless we have Christ, whose obedience is acceptable unto God. All this man saw, he is like many others. There are many people, my hearers, that will say, I have sinned. And how do they say it? They only say it with their mouth and with their mind. Very few do we find that come like David. Read Psalm 51. There you have a type of true repentance from a sinner that had committed two awful sins. See Peter, he went out and he wept bitterly. Saul never humbled himself. He never fell down before God and confessed that he had sinned and transgressed his commandment. Nay, he spake unto Samuel as if he had transgressed Samuel's commandment. And he asked Samuel even to pardon his sins, but he didn't ask God. All my hearers, there are many people. They will make a confession before a minister and say they have sinned. And they will make a confession even before a congregation. But to confess it before God in truth and in uprightness, it must be given by the Holy Spirit to do this. And now Samuel, he spake unto Saul again and said that the strength of Israel will not lie. In other words, what he had said was final. He was rejected by God. And the strength of Israel would be against Saul and not for him anymore. All the almighty power of God would be against this man, Saul. And this will be the lot of each and every person that dies in their sins. The strength of Israel will not lie. He's true to his word. He fulfills his judgments and his commandments as well as his promises and his mercies towards his people. He is a true God. He does not lie. And now, my hearers, Samuel, he turned away from Saul. And Saul never saw Samuel anymore until the day of his death. This man, Saul, then, he continued on being king. But oh, he was no king that was being blessed by God, because he was under the curse. And therefore, his kingship was no blessing to Israel of old. This man, Saul, at the end of his life, he showed just what was in him. He committed suicide. He fell on his sword, and he died in the battle on the mountain of Gilboa. This is what happened to this man, Saul. He would not want it to be said that the uncircumcised had killed him. He would rather kill himself. He had then no fear of God before his eyes, no thought of eternity, no thought of what it would be to fall into the hands of a living God. This man, Saul, was rejected then for being disobedient. Disobedience is a great sin, my hearers. And there may be someone listening to me that says, well, if Saul was rejected for his disobedience, then surely I will be rejected too. For I've been so disobedient to God in every way and in every respect. And it may be that someone's saying, I was disobedient even this morning. Where the Lord commands us to do this in remembrance of him, I did not come forward. I was disobedient to that commandment. It may have been that while you were listening to the signs and the tokens that were necessary for a true communicant, that your heart was broken to pieces, that you said inside, well, if that's what has to be known, and if that is what has to be felt, I can't deny that that is in me. But still, you remain seated. You were glued to your seat. You couldn't come forward. You were afraid for the people. You were afraid maybe that you would deceive yourself. And you were afraid to reveal that there was a hidden life going on in your soul. Oh, soul, so weak and so feeble in yourself. There come a time that the Lord will practically carry you by the wings of love to his table. You'll find yourself there someday, and you'll wonder how you got there. That's the way God deals with his people, my hearers. Oh, it isn't good to be disobedient. God must give us the grace of liberty and the grace of freedom to come forward, or otherwise we remain seated. Oh, how blessed it is, my hearers, that when all the bands break and we have no trouble with anybody else, but we need Jesus and we see him revealed there, and we are carried forward to this precious Christ, that we may possess him. I hope that those that have been disobedient in this respect may not take it to themselves and think, well, God has rejected me just like Saul. No. God never rejects his people, my hearers. He's of one mind and nobody can turn him. All their faults, all their sins, all their backslidings can never turn God's purpose towards them. He never had any purpose of love to Saul. He never had a purpose of salvation to him. Saul was a reprobate. He was an outcast. He was not an elect vessel of mercy. And therefore he was rejected for his sins and for his disobedience. And the Lord bless the feeble instruction that I have given you this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.